You are listening to the Grease Man Show. Please turn off all vibrating electrical devices and return your pants to their full upright position.
Yeah.
That's for you, huh, buddy?
What do you mean?
Now you selling t-shirts.
Well, I don't really get anything from it.
Well, I tell you,
just a profit.
Ah.
Oh, come on, Hoyle.
Capitalist hog.
Come on, please. Hey, I'll cut you in.
Speech patterns here. So you help out the judge, and we're helping her out along with Burger King.
This is your...
Taste it.
For 3,000 years, we've been getting it from everybody else. You think now in these modern times we'd be able to hear one happy Hanukkah?
Hey, look.
Radio.
Hey, wait.
One happy Hanukkah.
Wait a minute, buddy. I've been doing happy Hanukkah. Every day has been Hanukkah. What's today? About the fifth day of Hanukkah, I've been singing Hanukkah songs. Did you hear me the other day when I was singing, Hi, me, the snowman, I got all ten big schlamiel. Schlup the top. What?
You're about as Jewish as a pork chop.
Hey, wait a minute, buddy. I also did bagels roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your toes. But you didn't hear that. No, you didn't hear it. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Kafufa. Just for you, I'm going to do a special Christmas song. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Sleigh bells ring, ding-a-ding-a, big schlemiel, hear them ring. We're happy tonight, we're not going to slap, clutching in a winter wonderland. In the valley we can build a dreidel, and we'll fill it up with the field toppies. If you say, do you want a ladle, we'll say, do what you wish. Later on, we'll eat kreplach.
69, biggie.
Cold weather don't bother me at all. Matter of fact, no kind of weather bothers me at all. I'm just glad to face the new day, you know, because there was a time in my life when I thought I wouldn't live to see another day. There was a time in my life when I thought it was all over. And life is the sweetest to those who have nearly lost it. I can vouch for that. It happened one time when my wife and I were mountain climbing, and we got trapped on the mountainside! That's right. What a fool I was to suggest mountain climbing. We were inexperienced. We didn't know what we were doing. We started our ascent, and suddenly, the weather turned bad. I mean, badder than bad. The winds were whipping. The cold was numbing my fingertips. I could scarcely hold my pitons. We had a line between us, an umbilical cord of safety, keeping us both like ants to the mountainside. And still, the weather worsened. I mean, my Brill cream was frozen stiff, and I could see the look of terror in my wife's eyes. I didn't want her to know that I, too, was terrified. So doggedly, we plowed upward. I knew if we could make the summit of the mountain, we could weather out the storm. We could set up our ponchos. We would live! But unfortunately, the wind was too bad! The ice was too thick! We were making no headway at all. I looked around for a ledge, but there was no ledge. I mean, we were clinging by our fingertips. Every inch of progress we made was a brutal inch, an inch we had to fight for. And yet, relentlessly, we went on. We had no other choice. We had to go higher. God, I was terrified. I pulled out another piton, and I hammered it into the mountainside. Still another. Slowly, step by step, I watched her down below me, attached to the rope, when suddenly... couldn't hammer in any more pitons. The ice was too thick. My hammer was too frozen. My fingers were too numb. We were stranded, trapped on the mountainside, hanging from a single piton that was starting to come loose. The wind was really howling by now. And there we were. No handholds, no toe holds. Of course, we couldn't have used them even if there were. My fingers wouldn't move. There was only one piton holding the two of us. I weighing in at 221 pounds. She at a hefty 175, hanging from the same fragile piton. And it was starting to come loose. With every gust the wind blew, that piton got looser and looser. I said, honey! Honey! This piton ain't gonna hold both of us! She said, what do you mean? I said, I'm gonna have to cut you loose! She said, what? I said, there's no sense both of us dying here on the mountainside. My God! I know that if I were dangling down there and you were up here hanging from the single piton, you'd want to cut me loose. She said, no, I wouldn't! We've been married 10 years! If we're gonna die, let's die together! If we're gonna live, let's live together! I said, negatory! Negatory on the mutual suicide! Forgive me, darling, I love you! I have always loved you, but I've gotta cut you loose! This piton's getting ready to fall out of the mountainside! She said, no, God, please, please! She dangled there impotently as I pulled out my knife and started filing away on the rope. Suddenly, the rope broke free, and almost in slow motion, I watched her as she spun out of sight. She bounced off the side of the mountain three times. I could hear the splatter of blood and guts. I could see the red marks where she'd hit in the snow. She lay motionless down below. Well, now, freed of the burdensome bulk of her weight, I managed to snake back down the mountainside, and I ran to where she lay. Her lips were moving slightly, and I leaned over. I said, "Baby, darling, you trying to say something?" I got closer. I got within an inch of her face. And she wadded up the biggest clam I'd ever seen, the biggest honker, and spat it right in my face. I said, "Well, you're going to be a sore loser about it. I was going to carry you down to the first aid station. Now I just tie a rope around your foot and drag you down."
Your turn. Hover the gaga.
Hover the gaga, gaga.
Isn't it neat, neat?
Ooh. I like your laugh in the echo chamber.
Now can we play with my yo-yo? And my silly putty? And later on, we're going to do a couple of follow the dots. We just have so much fun here at the Big Apron.
When I have indigestion, I grumble. And when I'm in love, I purr.
Good afternoon, the Big Ape and the Grease Man. Cash clock fiction to start ticking shortly. All right, who we got here?
No.
I mean, don't you need somebody, a macho, cellulite-ridden guy, to walk on and play a heavy sometime?
Your stomach would get to the set 2 hours before the rest of you. Why aren't you gaining so much weight?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's the pressure, Jay. It's the pressure.
Are you still living in that little dump in Orange Park?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You live in that same dump?
Same dump. SD. Same dumb.
And that big old fat woman with the moles on her face that look like the Raisinettes?
Well, I've dumped her.
Oh, you got rid of her.
Yeah.
Have you gotten married again since then?
No. Everything is in order. I'm well adjusted.
And you were married 3 or 4 times when I met you.
That's right. I've stayed away. I'm footloose, fancy free, and available for Hobble the Gaga.
Look how nervous you're getting. You got those big sweat rings under your arms. As soon as we talk about
stop it. Speaking of which, I got a lady hanging on the line here who wants to ask you a question. Let's put her on. Okay, darling, go ahead. It's up to you now.
What do you miss most about Jacksonville?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I really do miss getting up at 5 in the morning and driving across the Buckman Bridge. That was one of the most exciting things in my life. And this morning I relived it. And stopping by the omelet shop and seeing the waitress with no teeth. Those are the two most important things in my life.
There you have it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye.
How about the gaga? Hello?
Hey, I just want Jay to know I've been a fan of his for the last 10 years.
Holy Jesus.
My daughter. How are you, sweetheart?
Okay, I'm from Pensacola.
Is your mom getting the checks?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Are you wearing shoes now?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? What's your name, sweetheart?
Doris? Yes.
How about her gaga? 10 years, buddy. She's been a fan. How old are you, Dar?
25.
Were you the one with the tattoos?
No,
you weren't the one married to the Blue Angel, were you?
No.
The tattoos? That's okay. Well, Doris, you all sound the same after a while. Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, listen, we want you to know if it weren't for a small people, you wouldn't...
I'd be a zero, wouldn't I?
That's right.
All right, I'll send you some money in the mail.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Hello.
It's me.
Hey.
Hey, can I speak to Jay?
You're talking to him.
Hey, Jay, do you know who this is?
Gosh, you sound familiar.
Hey, Famous Jack of Miami.
Famous Jack of Miami.
That's right. How you doing, big boss?
Oh, wonderful, Jack. I've thought about you often.
What?
I've thought about you often.
Listen, come over here. I've got my buddy. How's it going?
I
know how you're doing. I'm doing good. Teaching school, still got the stash. My buddy, the Phantom. You remember him?
Oh, sure.
The Phantom is now flying for the United States Air Force as a major. I got a card yesterday.
You know something?
He will be in D.C. flying Air Force.
Oh, that Jack, you're just as boring now as you were 10 years ago. So thanks a lot for ruining my day.
Oh, no. Oh, no, he's going to hang up on you. Hello? Uh-oh. Hello? Hey.
I'm looking for Jay Thomas.
You got him.
Hi.
Sweet thing, this is Betty Green. Kelly Green. Kelly and Betty Green.
Well, I'll be darned, how are you?
I can't believe
the famous Green... The Green Sisters.
Hey, Jay.
Yes.
Come over after you're finished.
Well, wow. The Green Sisters have not changed a bit.
Oh, you're so funny.
I got it. Hey, come on.
Jay?
What's that?
I said, Kelly, do you think he'll remember us? And she goes, why not? We gave him the best years of our lives.
You see that? I told you the Green Sisters.
With Christmas time giving
value for your dollar, well, then you're talking about the Happy Jacks Lounge.
That's right.
I imagine you've had many a rendezvous lined up in a discreet Happy Jacks Lounge.
I've thrown up in the parking lot of Happy Jacks.
Oh, come on, James!
I'm sorry. No.
This is another one. This one's responsible for my liquor cabinet.
Oh, this is Happy Jacks. He was happy when I knew him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Tony Romano, the Italian Stallion,
he
is still...
He was always loaded, Happy Jacks. That's why he was so damn happy.
Please!
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, there goes my Perrier supply. But it's a good, clean fun, and they can take a joke, because Happy Jacks is that kind of perky place.
That's right.
Fun people, good times.
And they're so loaded, they wouldn't know what we're saying anyway.
Hey!
No, I'm sorry.
Happy Jacks, there's one near you. Off we go now. For another half hour of fun-packed shrieking.
Are you going to tell them who's here?
Uh-oh, what do you mean?
Well, you haven't really mentioned who I am. I'm...
Oh, that's right. What a fool I am.
This is being paid for by ABC Television, the plane ticket and everything.
This is Jay Thomas. Oh, did they pay for the plane ticket? I thought you flew here on your own, buddy.
I flew my own jet.
250,000 G's, and they're buying... You using trade-out plane tickets?
What are you using those numbers for? Don't be using any numbers on the radio.
Come on. We all know the real truth, Jay.
What we're here for is to say that starting on... I said this before, but on, we're going to go back to Thursday nights, the second week in January. Be on at 8 o'clock, Mork and Mindy.
All right, yeah, Jay Thomas from Mork and Mindy is here, live.
And I used to be the morning disc jockey right where you are.
8 years ago, you clenched this mic.
And I graduated from Jacksonville University.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Big deal.
It's a lovely school.
It's a wonderful school. I'm going over there later to the bookstore and get some T-shirts.
Really?
Can't wait to get over there, sir.
All right, buddy. Well, Linga, we're going to pick up the phones in just a bit and let you talk to some of your old people that, well, probably...
This is your life.
That's right, Jay. Stand by. Right now, the Little River Maggots.
Or Palatka. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I remember it.
Or Palatka.
It's 14 before 8 here at the Big 8. One thing before we forget, you get too carried away. I get people ask me all the time when they see you on TV how you made the transition from playing the hits to TV. How can you go do a brief how you did that?
Basically, it's real luck. It's really funny. Nobody is more talented down here than they are out west or in New York. It's just a time and place. I was in North Carolina, and I'd worked for this company for a long time, and so I moved to New York and got a disc jockey job there, but really wanted to be an actor real bad. I even went to a psychiatrist and said, look, I've got this thing about wanting to be an actor, and they said, well, go ahead and do it. I thought I was crazy.
Wow.
And I went and did small plays and did stand-up comedy at nightclubs and did my radio show in the morning like you're doing, except I'd get off and go out and hunt for work. And one day the Mork and Mindy people came to town, and somebody mentioned that there was a wild disc jockey who was an actor and a comedian, and I auditioned and made fun of everyone, and they thought that was funny, and the next thing you know, I was making a big bucks and had been rescued from Top 40 Radio.
Oh.
Lord have mercy, I know you love it. I was sitting in my room, next thing you know, he was there.
God.
I was a born-again money grabber. I'll tell you
that. That's great.
As I was in the audition, I felt something came through me, and I thought for a minute it was religion. It wasn't.
It was money.
It was cash.
It was cold, hard cash.
I went right for the cash.
Well, let's see how people react. Okay, you on the air, buddy?
Ask Jay Thomas about the Lake Apartments in 1973 in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I was talking about the Lake Apartments in Charlotte, North Carolina last night. Those are the most decadent years of my life. I moved from here to Charlotte, where we have big waves down there, and or up there, wherever it is. And who are you?
Joe Joseph. I met you.
Joe Joseph?
Stairs from you.
Hey.
He used to live upstairs from me.
Yeah, you probably borrowed many a cup of my sugar now from him, huh? Hey, Joe, good to talk to you.
Same here.
All right, buddy.
Hey, I saw you on TV, and I thought that's who it was, when I saw the credits, I about flipped out.
It's me, Joe. I've made it.
Oh, man, you're in the big town.
Yes, sir.
Can I have your autograph?
Later.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, Jay.
See, Curtis Brooks is over there laying bricks. Can he lay fast? You say Johnny Lee is a...
No. Not an old guy. He died.
You see, they changed. They used to have the people in the records, music
tour.
That's
why I'm doing this world tour.
I got you mixed up with that one that's on Laverne and Shirley.
Wait a second. Hold it a minute. Oh, that ugly guy?
That ugly guy? No, I don't even know what this guy looks like.
Well, I'm a sex symbol. I'm probably not going to be on Sunday night either.
Oh, no.
No, you can't miss me. I'm an Italian guy, and I look like an Italian. You've seen these Italians on TV, haven't you?
You're the bellboy or something like that?
Well, you hang up on this guy.
Well.
I don't like these. I don't like this. How long do I have to be here? Nine more minutes?
Nine more minutes.
Goodness.
Now, they're just funning you, Jay. They don't mean nothing.
I know I'm nothing.
Hey,
rub it in.
Hey,
Mr. DeFazio, Mr. DeFazio.
The Christmas season is the most boring and the most sad season of the whole year. Oh, sure, you got your family. You got your presents, you got your tree, you got all your little friends. You make me wanna puke. I'm sorry to be so hostile, but it was just 2 days before Christmas, 5 years ago, that I lost her. She just walked out. She said, I can't put up with you any longer. The game is over. Goodbye. Forever. I mean, that's what I came home from work to see, a note like that on the table. And I ran to the living room, and I looked at the tree, and it was blinking, and all the presents I had for her were untouched under the tree. And I'll tell you something, buddy. You don't know depression until you've had somebody leave you, walk out 2 days before Christmas. I mean, it was agony. I could see shoppers rushing around with their gaily covered packages. Carolers came to my door. I didn't even open it. They were singing fa-la-la-la-la. And do you hear what I hear? The only thing I heard was the drip of the faucets. The floorboards creaking. The emptiness is what I heard. The sounds of silence. And Christmas Eve, when we would normally open our presents, I was sitting there alone with a bottle of gin. And I looked at the tree. I looked at all of her presents, and frankly, I just couldn't take it anymore. I didn't want to be alone. So I went running out to the street, and I grabbed a bum, a wino, who was downtown at the Mission. And I knew he'd be spending it lying on the street. I said, look, buddy, why don't you come home, have Christmas with me? And he said, oh, it'll be my pleasure. So he climbed in the grease mobile. I took him home, and I gave him all of her presents. He sat under the tree, and he opened one box of nylons. He looked at the Chanel number 5. He took out the sheer negligee. He said, look, buddy, I don't know what you're planning, but I don't want any part of it. And it's over. Another 4 hours in the can. Oh, geez, the strain. You don't know. 4 hours of laying the platters is like 15 hours of digging ditches. I ache from head to toe, but not only my muscles are sore, but my brain is sore from expenditures of creative juices.
Me to wondering what it must be like
to strap on a gun and pin on a badge
and become a lawman. Yeah, they got you working Christmas Day. Every year, you have to work Christmas Day. Everybody else is home. Everybody else is popping a top on a cool beer, enjoying the Christmas tree and their families. But no! You gotta ride around in your patrol car, in your sweaty police uniform. Nothing going on. Better than a doornail. You're bored stiff. You gotta work Christmas. And the more you think about it, the madder you get. So you say to yourself, well, if I can't have a good Christmas, nobody's gonna have a good Christmas. You go around to your trunk and you get out your radar gun. You position yourself on a main thoroughfare and you wait with a leer on your face. And sure enough, here comes some clam with a car full of Christmas presents, 90 miles an hour and a 55. You hit the blue light and siren, pull him over. You say, all right, pilgrim, where you going? He said, officer, I'm sorry, but it's Christmas and I'm late to get my presents under the tree. My boy's a cripple. And this year I bought him an electric wheelchair, and I just wanted to see the look in his face. He said, get out of the car. He says, but get out of the car. He gets out of the car, and you hit him across both kneecaps with your nightstick. Whack, whack. And you say, all right, maggot, now you can get matching wheelchairs and roll around together. You leave him lying there in the mud with his kneecaps just aching with pain. And you figure you'll have a little fun. So you and the other guys on your shift drive down to the train station where the bums hang out. Yeah, you figure you're going to have bum races. I mean, if there's anybody that feels lower than you on Christmas Day, it's the bums. So you go into the abandoned train station, and there they are, sitting around their sterno fires. And you make them get on each other's backs and race while two other bums play their violins with a cup in front of them. Two bums playing violins, another bunch of bums racing around. There you are, placing bets and having a good old time. Downtrodding the undowntroddenable. It's great when one of the bums finally gets uppity. Yeah, one of the bums playing the violin gets uppity, and he talks to the other one, and both of them come at you swinging their violins. Holy, you can't believe it. They're drunken old fools. They're no danger. But you figure, what the hey? Let's see the guys down at the jail. So you arrest them both. They say, what's the charge? You say, resisting arrest with violence. Huh? Get it? So you take them down to the jail, and you scream delightedly.
book of.
Tullicum ain't or a Yankee. I'm always going to be hostile. You know me.
I was going to put you up. All right, let's hear what the Yankees have done to make you hostile now.
I'll tell you what they done. There's a couple of them coming down from New Jersey, right?
Right.
Okay. They're going down to Kissimmee.
Mm-hmm.
You know how a Yankee will laugh at anything.
Yeah, right.
So they both sitting there in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, we're going to this town, and I wonder how you pronounce it. I wonder if it's Kissimmee or Kissimmee or
yeah.
Kissimmoo-moo or what is it?
I know. Yankee scummers like that, you know?
You know it. You know it, but making fun.
Make fun of every damn thing. If it ain't called New York, they don't want to know about
right.
it, right?
And they can't even pronounce that.
All right. So,
they say, I tell you what, we get to this town named whatever it is, we'll walk into the first place of business, or the first home, or whatever, and say, how do you pronounce the name of this town, and pronounce it slow, say it slow for us.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, well, that sounds good. Well, they're laying bets out now.
Uh-huh, so they're driving along.
The town is, okay? So they pull on in, they walk into this place of business, first place on the ride, they come in town. They look at the guy, and they said, how do you pronounce this place and say it slow so we can understand it?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, Burger King.
A little help from my friend Jacques Daniel.
I believe it. You look like you're in bad shape. I'll tell you what else I got. I got a load of onion dip out there and some Fritos.
Buddy, you just talking my language, you know?
I'm telling you. Did you see us yesterday in Ripley's Believe It or Not in the funny paper?
Wait, what? Not in Ripley's?
A fella named Michael Tolotis.
Uh-huh.
His name. That's a little comic strip here from Ripley's.
Mm-hmm.
He was a monk who was brought to, I can't pronounce that, but I think it's Mount Athos, is that it?
Yeah, Mount Athos.
It's over in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Only 4 hours after his birth, he died at the age of 80 without ever having seen a woman.
Never seen a woman in 80?
He never, ever saw a girl all his life.
In 80 years?
Never even saw any good magazines, you know?
I know. Well, the only thing they'd have in there would be religious writings with no pictures in there. Huh?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Can you imagine that?
I wonder how he made it for 80 years.
I reckon they gave him a lot of hard work to do, you know?
Why is that?
Just worked him to the bone, so to speak.
Why is that?
Well, when they done their autopsy, they come up with a lot of calluses on his hands. Oh, God!
That's all I can do.
Man, that was great. Okay, let's put dessert fire off that Magnum a couple of times.
That's all I can do now. I own 3 residents. I'm to fight my way out.
Well, that's great. Hey, you learned the Miami Kettleite technique, didn't you?
69. Big 8.
Let me see here.
Je ne sais pas, circa 1956. They're going to be having duck flambé as the second course. There will be a delightful Caesar salad with anchovies. There will be, chocolate mousse imported by Chef Dunard of France. There will be, a delightful little aperitif. A little creme de menthe over your ice cream. And for dessert, a couple of jujubes. Sound like fun?
Oh, yeah.
Good. That ain't what they're having for lunch, you know.
I know.
I just kind of made that up.
Really copious amounts of chest hair and several chains dangling. I walked up to this high stepper. She started laughing. She laughed at my face. I said, what is it, my satin pants? She said, no. I said, my satin shirt or my change? She said, no. I said, well, then what is it that's ruining my outfit? She said, it's them big, clunky-looking goulashes. Divorce homily.
Yeah.
Well, is there any chance that you and I could hop in a caca?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you,
Come on over. I'm still in bed.
Are you as good looking as you sound?
Hey.
Come on.
Got no complaints last night.
Really? Oh, God. How old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh! Any kids?
No, not me.
No kids from the prior liaison.
The prior liaison only lasted 4 weeks.
4 weeks?
I found out he was gay.
Oh, no. Really? How'd you find out?
I found him. With someone else.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You came home from work and there he was with Lamont.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I thought I had bad luck when I came down with bunions. Anyway, I appreciate it. Arrivederci.
Happy trails.
Hello,
everyone. This is your...
Couple and their kids. Yeah, we rented a rusty old station wagon from Taco Car Rental. Now, we decided we'd see more than the usual tourist claptrap. We would go deep into the bowels of Mexico. We would go to La Tierra del Muerte, the land of the dead, the home of the infamous bandito Juan Corona de Vega. Well, we'd been going along for a while, but we got lost. Everything started looking alike. Sagebrush after sagebrush. Deeper and deeper into the Mexican desert we went. Only to run out of gas. And the car finally chugged to a halt. We all looked around nervously at each other and said, well, I guess we'll have to walk out of this godforsaken desert. And so we started walking. Me and my wife, this other guy and his wife and their two kids. And we're walking. And the sweat starts pouring out of our bodies. And the sun is beating down on us. And when you know the women start to fatigue. And finally they say, we can't go anymore. We can't go anymore. You go on without us. We said, no, we can't leave you here. We can't leave you here. Let's take another sip of water. Well, there was only half a canteen of water left. And there were so many people. Finally, our wives said, look, let's face reality. We're all going to die here. Better some should live and some should die than all of us die. The wives decided that we men should drink the water. And we'd shoot them and give them a merciful death. So, blam, blam! We shot the women. We had to! And then we realized there still wasn't enough water, so we shot the kids. Blam, blam! And then my buddy picked up the binoculars and looked ahead and said, oh no, about 100 yards ahead! I said, what is it? A cactus? A bandito? Wild Indians? He said, no. It's a McDonald's.
Oh. Come to me, baby.
On the Pakistani border, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
We shipping them Pakistanis, and I think China's going to help out, too, trying to get them all armed up against them Ruskies.
Yeah?
I know how to do it, though.
What's
it? And I think it's being taken care of by Mr. C up there in Washington, even as we speak.
Why? What's going on?
Well, that's the fact that we've cut off them damn grain shipments over there.
Yeah, well, what's that going to do? They'd be a little hungry.
Now, think about it. Doesn't have anything to do with them being hungry, because them soldiers will get food even when them Russian people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Look, those Russian boys grew up drinking vodka from the time they 11 years old, right?
Right, right.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They as hung up on vodka as the South is on bourbon. You know that.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right, they got all this vodka, and they've been drinking it forever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we cut off the grain shipments. What is vodka to steal from?
Well, grain, I guess.
That's right. We cut off their vodka.
Well,
we cut out their hearts. Could you imagine 100,000 Russian soldiers standing there on the Pakistani border with the DTs?
Hey, that's great.
Shaking.
They'll probably have to drink hair tonic, yeah.
That?
Well, let them say Mastroia with a glass of Vitalis. The skimmer. But fortunately, since I have atonement, I never find none of them things.
Really?
I mean, hell, I ain't had no crud in that pool. The atonement pool is a unique pool. Rick will tell you all about it. Hell, I ain't too good on all them technical terms. But Rick Matson will come out there and explain it all to you as he's looking over your backyard. Look out there, tell you what kind of pool be best, how much it'll cost.
In fact, yeah.
Down in the Zone 3 Disco, I was the only honky in the place. I was on the prowl, looking for an ebony princesska.
Oh, hobble-dugga-gugga, hobble-dugga-gugga. Yeah, when I walked in, they all glowered at me, but then when they saw me move, everybody stood back respectfully.
I writhed my hips, and I wore my shoes from Mr. Kicks. They said, look at his honky. It was then that I saw her, Gazelda. She had the lips of Donna Summer, the face of Dionne Warwick, the figure of Annette Funicello. I tell you, this lady was put together.
And everything was going fine. We were hitting it off. We weren't even experiencing much hostility from the big bucks that glowered at us from the distance.
I took her hand in mine, led her toward the door. The crowd parted. Everybody wished us good luck. I just about had her inside the Greasemobile. When somebody noticed a Wallace sticker on my bumper.
Maybe it's in my wallet.
Yeah, you see, I was going to be a brain surgeon, and I had just about completed all my studies, and I was in my senior year, and I had a very important operation. It was a man that had a slight tumor, and it was supposed to be routine, and I was going to be the head surgeon in charge, the HNIC, as it were, the operating room. And when
I made the incision and I exposed the man's brain, but I had a cold, a very bad cold, and I thought about bowing out, but I knew that if I bowed out of the operation, I'd probably fail the course, so I had to go through with it. So I was making an incision around the medulla oblongata when I sneezed. Hachoo! And the scalpel slipped and lopped off a section of brain matter. I said, whoops, there go the piano lessons. And I figured I could salvage the poor person with a minimum of damage when I was making another incision and... Hachoo! My hand slipped again and part of the cerebellum went bloop out of the table. I said, uh-oh, looks like this one's going to need speech therapy. And the nurses said, doctor, don't you think you better send in a replacement? I said, look, I can finish the operation. I started it. I'm the commander of this operating theater, and I'll thank you to hand me a sponge and shut your face. Yeah. And I went ahead with the operation, but I kept sneezing. Achoo, achoo, achoo. I mean, I turned that poor guy's brain into jello. When I finally glued his skull back on and wheeled him out, needless to say, there was an investigation. The man was hooked up to a respirator for the rest of his life. He just stared at the ceiling, didn't say anything, just drooled every now and then, and they'd change his bedding. Well, the medical board says, look, you are forever barred from practicing medicine. They ripped my license in shreds. And they said, we're not going to put you in jail because you have to live with the hell you've created all your life. But we will do this much. You have to tell the next of kin what you've done. That will be your punishment. I thought, oh, God. So I walked out of the waiting room where the next of kin was. I said, look, got some bad news and good news for you. The lady said, well, okay, give me the bad news first. I said, your husband's a vegetable. She said, ah! She said, what's the good news? I said, well, he ain't going to be making you watch football on Sunday afternoons anymore. 69 BC. Matson put my Tallman pool strategically in my backyard so that it's directly under a big oak tree. I climb the tree to the top rung, and I lie in waiting. I invite people over. I say, just let yourselves in and go in the pool. I'll meet you out there. They don't realize that I'm 15 feet above the pool in the oak tree, looking down at them. They say, well, I guess Grease will be out in a little while. We'll just go in the water and wait for him here in the lounge chair. That's when I make my move. I tense like a cat. My legs moving on the branch in anticipation. My muscles tight. And then I leap from the tree, screaming like a banshee on the way down. Yeah. They go flying out of the lounge chairs, spilling their pina coladas. Contact lenses hopelessly lost in the skimmer.
Up all night long.
You've been up all night long, risking your life. Yeah. You've been hoping you can use the fleeing felon law.
Well, as a matter of fact, yes.
Really? You've been just fingering that shotgun, hoping you get to pump lead in somebody's direction. Admit it.
Well,
admit it.
What can I say?
I understand. All right. Are you in some place now where you can give me sirene?
Boy, am I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you want some sirene?
I want some sirene, buddy.
Okay, hold on just a minute. I'll give you some sirene.
All right, I'm hanging on.
All right.
All right. Listen to that phone dangling somewhere. Oh, God, it was great. All right, let me hear that holster on snap and that magnum come out.
Hold on.
All right.
Wait a minute. I tell you, Grease, I was on the way to the jail. I found this Iranian student hitchhiking on the expressway, and he's beating on the window. He wants to get out and use the bathroom. Can you hold just a second?
Yeah.
Just a second.
All right.
All right, maggot, get out of the back of the car. Okay, he's out behind the car now, you know, you got...
Plug him one.
You gotta let these guys go once in a while.
I understand. Fire around behind the bushes where he is. Go ahead, fire around.
Wait a minute. I think he's running. Great. Wait a minute. Hey, come back here. Wait a minute. Hold it.
All right! Yeah. Kind of makes you wonder a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. What it must be like to strap on a gun, to pin on a badge, and become a lawman! You've been up all night long. You're driving to the jail when suddenly you spot an Iranian student hitchhiking. You can tell by the rag on his head. You can tell by that pasty look in his eye. You can tell by that expression on his face. that says Death to Carter. Up with Khomeini. See you go squealing over there. You say, all right, there, you dune runner. Let me see some ID. Whip out that driver's license! Well, he whips out his driver's license. You look at it and say, now, how do you pronounce that name? He says, I am Isad Babud. I say, what's your name, baboon? You a baboon, boy? He said, no, I'm not a baboon. I'm Isad Babud. Shut up! You drop his license on the ground. And when he bends over to pick it up, you knee him right in the face. Wow! His head snaps back, and you can hear the bicuspids crunching. The cartilage in his nose will never be the same again. You pick him up and you throw him into the side of your squad car, you frisk him, and sure enough, you find a switchblade in his back pocket. You take it out and you say, hey, baboon, what you got this for? Taking care of your camel, huh? 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 He says, well, Americans are very hostile. I carry it. I say, you carry it because you want to kill Carter, don't you? And you slash him across the guts. Admit it! A thin line of blood starts foaming over his tacky orange pants that those people are so fond of. You slash him again and again and again till he's screaming! Screaming! Well, the other guys on your shift hear the commotion. They come running over. They see your Iranian at your feet sniveling. And they decide to practice their Miami nightstick technique. Last one to turn him into a vegetable to Monkey's uncle. And whack, 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 whack all around his skull. From his medulla oblongata to his cerebellum, you turn him into a bowl of human jello oozing on the ground. And then he starts to crawl away. He starts to crawl away. He's a fleeing felon. He was carrying a switchblade. That's a concealed weapon, a third-degree felony. He's crawling away. You went out the magnums and blast him. Your sergeant shows up and sees him lying there in a mess like that. He says, what happened? You say, geez, I don't know, Sarge. Worst case of suicide I ever saw. Sagebrush, my only companions for days on end. Until I finally pulled into my first Mexican town, the town of Emejagua. There I saw Chiquita dancing on the stage. I was mesmerized by her olive skin, by those big searching eyes, by those lips. Those lips covered in lip gloss. Looked like a big old gaping red stairway. And the Mexicans, sitting there, cheering her every mood. The soft swish of her hips. The clippity-clop of her heels. The way she stared at me hungrily. Looking at the pale-faced gringo, standing at the bar, nervously, quivering in my brand-new boots. My brand-new gun and holster on there. With greeny stick'em caps. To give him an extra bang. But I didn't speak a word of Spanish. And when I walked up to the bar, I didn't know what to order, you know? So I just stood there looking at what the other guys were drinking, and I walked up to an empty place on the bar, and there was already a glass sitting there. A weird-looking kind of glass, but I figured, well, in Mexico, they drink out of weird-looking glasses. It looked almost like a test tube, you know? So I stood in front of it, and I didn't want to seem out of place. I figured maybe they just set you up before you even get to the bar. And I looked at it, it looked slimy and gross, but I figured, well, what the hell, you know, when in Mexico, do as the Mexicans do. So I drank it down, and God, it was horrible. Look, I mean, I nearly threw up. I mean, it just tasted so slimy and bitter. And I was just trying to digest it when the bartender came over and said, hey, gringo, what happened to my sputum sample?
Oh. Come, baby.
So one day at roll call, the sergeant told us all, he said, look, we're going to lose this fleeing felon law if you guys abuse it. So don't abuse it. Make sure if you shoot anybody that he's justified to be shot under the fleeing felon law, and make sure whatever you do that you kill him. Don't leave him alive to sue us later on, all right? If you're justified to shoot, shoot to kill. We said, all right, Sarge, we promise. So sure enough, that day, I encountered the guy resisting arrest with violence. I mean, he punched me several times in the stomach, you know? Rapid fire little punches in the tummy, which is, you know, resisting arrest with violence, which is a third degree felony. And he tried to make his getaway. I reached inside my squad car, lined up on the middle of his back, and blam! Load a buckshot between the shoulder blades. Sergeant called up on the phone and said, oh my God, I heard you shot one. I said, yes, I did. Don't worry, Sarge. He said, are you sure it fit all the categories of the fleeing felon law? I said, yes, it did. It fit them all to a T. He said, okay, good. Did you kill him? I said, yeah, I think so. Blew him clean out of his wheelchair. 69 BK.
I was out there last night. You should have seen me in my satin pants and satin shirt. Open to the waist, revealing chains and copious chest hair. I was flexing when I decided to have a drink, but I'm trying to cut down on my drink and I'm trying to purify my system. So I walk up to the bartender. I said, "Barkeep, I'd like a glass of papaya juice with two raw eggs mixed in, some lecithin, some kelp, some desiccated liver, and top it off with some wheat germ." He said, "Sorry, but we don't carry any of that stuff." I said, "Okay, give me a double bourbon."
Yeah.
Hacking and wheezing.
It's getting better now.
Oh,
yeah.
Come
on. It even tastes better. I went to a drugstore last night to get me some cold remedies.
Uh-huh.
And a blind man walked in.
Uh-huh.
I watched him walk down the aisles with his cane.
Uh-huh.
Watched him run into counters, knock over display. You know?
He was knocking into things, bumping into things.
All over the place. He was knocking all kind of things. Knocking the shampoo counter down, the magazine racks, everything.
Uh-huh.
Finally, it was about time the sales girl walked up and said, "May I help you, sir?"
Uh-huh.
He replied, "No, I'm just looking."
How brutally insensitive. How totally unfeeling. How many gallons of gasoline do you burn in the course of the summertime? Traveling from hotel to hotel, schlepping the family around. You know your vacation's going to be a living hell. Why not buy a Tallinn pool and spend the vacation sitting in your floating lounge chair, smoking big cigars, eating Twinkies, drinking beer, and soaking up the sun? Of course, you could take a long trip with your family. Your sniveling little brats in the back seat. "Daddy, when are we going to get there?" "Shut your face! I'll tell you when we're going to get there." And your wife, "Honey, you missed the turn-up." "Why did you tell me I was missing the turn-up?" "Well, you didn't." "Well, boom, zing." Is that what you want to go through again this summer? Or do you want to spend it lounging in your Tallinn pool? The only effort you exert is to rub a little more suntan early on your burning shoulders, huh? Playing little pool tag and diving for pennies? It's great. And the price, well, is less than you think. Be an estimate, no obligation. It's great. It's a Tallinn pool. Make your summertime a fun summertime with a little help from Tallinn. 69 big Please, we've had enough of your derisive humor. All right, I'm ready.
All right, Grease Man, what is wrinkle and smells of ginger?
Let me see if I can...
You want to repeat it?
What is wrinkle... Now, hold on, you ain't going to get me in trouble here now.
No!
You better not.
Hell no. Go ahead and read it.
What is wrinkled and smells of ginger?
Right. You know what it is? You give up?
I give up.
Fred Astaire's face. You know what the difference between you and Paul Sebastian is?
What's that?
$100,000 a year.
Come on now, you're going to make them feel insecure, inadequate. Please. Probably more like 115.
Ah, no!
Come on, hell, it couldn't be a cent over 96 G's. 22 after 9 is the big 8. Box out there.
They look like Waylon and Willie.
Well, I thought maybe you'd know, for crying out loud.
They look like Dottie West.
Well, crucify me then. I just wanted to know.
Do they look like Ernie Tubbs?
All right, all right, all right. Suffice it to say, you don't know whether that's more than one person. All right, excuse me for breathing.
Got a good one for you.
All right, let's hear it.
That's a true story. I've seen this happen.
All right, what's that?
I've seen 10 Polacks.
Oh, come
on. Pushing a house down the road.
10 Polacks pushing a house down the road?
With one of them wide load signs on it.
Why were they...
10 Polacks pushing a house down the road.
Why?
I finally figured out what they were doing.
What?
Jump-starting the furnace.
Oh, come on! That's horrible! That's vicious! You have to tell Polish jokes like that. I think it's vicious.
Well, I have to tell Polish jokes.
Yes!
You know that the Ayatollah over there in Iran is really Polish?
Oh, come on.
That's right. His name ain't Comenius Kominsky.
Ayatollah Kominsky? Oh, what?
He went to the high priest over there.
Uh-huh.
That's how it all started.
Uh-huh.
He thought, he came back and says, I done what you said, high priest. I took them hostages.
Mm-hmm.
High priest says, hostages? You idiot? I said lozenges.
Hoyle, well, I hope you're satisfied. You've made my show a shambles. You've insulted everyone around. And now you've thrown my timing off completely.
Happy trails to you.
Arrivederci.
69 BK.
Working, buddy. Sure don't work on you, huh?
You got your bojo working, baby?
I got it working, darling. Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let me hear a couple of boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka.
boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka.
Ain't it funky now? See, ain't it funky now?
Ain't it funky now? Ain't it funky now?
Get on the good foot, get on the good foot.
Get on the good foot, get on the good foot.
Boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka.
Like a boom shakalaka laka.
You into this, aren't you? You love it.
Huh? Well, look, I gotta get back to work now.
All right,
I'm at work at Wendy's.
You, where you work at? Where, is that where you are right now?
Yeah.
Which Wendy's? Which Wendy's?
Beach Boulevard.
Beach Boulevard. Okay, if I come in there, just look for a funky honky that smells like a donkey.
All right.
Get it?
Why?
To give us basketball.
Oh, come on now, Hoyle, that's horrible. I ain't gonna let you on my show. The only thing you do is come out here and promote your own stupid brand of racial derision. What are you doing? you normally ain't on the air till about quarter to eight. What you doing? I mean, quarter to nine. What you doing in here so early?
Well, the reason I come in, I heard them, what you call, limp press on your show this morning.
Yeah, about 10 minutes ago I was talking to them gay people. Yeah, that's right.
You act like you disgusted by them, buddy.
Uh-huh.
But you right in there swinging with them, I want to tell you.
Wait a minute.
You one of them.
You saying I'm a queer?
You a $4 bill, buddy.
Wait a minute, Hoyle. Now look, I've been married 3 times.
That don't make no difference. A lot of them do that. I've read about them big movie stars that do that sort of thing.
Wait a minute.
Just for a show, you know.
Are
especially
you?
3 times. Why did none of them lie? I guess you had a bad woman every time, huh? Yeah, I bet. There's only one way to know.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. If you straight or you gay.
Well, what is the way, the Hoyle Dempsey method of telling whether or not someone's straight or someone's gay?
Well, a lampress can't whistle.
That's ridiculous. You tell me that queers can't...
Your earphones can, but I bet your mouth can't.
Are you telling me that that's a scientific fact, that homosexuals cannot whistle?
Buddy, I don't know if it's scientific. All I know is it is a fact. It's a fact. It's a proven fact.
It's ridiculous.
If they can't whistle, let's give it a shot.
What do you mean? You want me to whistle to prove
it? Right here in front of everybody. Go ahead and prove it.
All right. All right, I will.
Go. You want a little more time? You get warmed up there? Your Honor, I rest my case.
How about a Saturday night?
It's 25 minutes after 7 at the Big Game. That's a moldy goldie from Bobby Darin. Holy jeez, Hoyle Dempsey's caused me to... Oh, Jesus, what? There's another guy? Another guy calling up, questioning the veracity of my wrists? Holy jeez, just what do you mean, buddy?
What do you think I mean?
What?
What the hell Hoyle just proved you was queer?
Wait a minute, he didn't prove I was queer.
How much money do you make a year?
$600,000, well, $120,000 a year.
How much money do you make on the other thing?
On what?
What do you mean on what?
On being a queer.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean, like walking down the street saying, hey, sailor? I mean...
Well, you said you're from Zone 3, and 4 of the queers said they were from the north side. What the hell do you mean?
Well...
Obviously, they were too much competition for you, so you quit and went out to Orange Park.
Are you saying...
Hey, you go to Palenka. Hell, we're on the way to 4 now.
Hey, wait a minute now. Are you telling...
I've been listening to a queer. You think you upset? I've been listening to a queer for 6 months.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you just wait a damn minute. Just because Hoyle Dempsey comes in here with some cockamamie philosophy that because I can't whistle, I'm a queer, you're right away thinking that I am a queer, and it's not true.
Let me put it away you can understand.
Yeah.
Throw it out to your ear, buddy.
Don't do it.
On your side. Still up. For all these years, all these people love you, right? You let this guy come on to your show and put you down, and then you whimper about it. You don't stand up for yourself. He just cries. What's the matter with you?
Taking
it
like a man, Reese.
You should pop back. Now, come on. You've known Hoyle a long time. You must know something about him.
Yeah.
With the radio.
Hey.
You get people getting down on him. Why let him do it to you? It's your show.
You're right. Yeah.
Stand up and fight for yourself. My God.
I had to come back with some...
You let people start thinking you're queer. You start whimpering.
You're right.
And whistle, not Yankee Doodle.
All right. I'll look.
Great.
Yeah?
You know, she's right. I had you whimpering like a little pup this morning.
Well, you did. In fact, you hurt my feelings. Why?
I'd like to apologize for that right here in front of the last bastion of redneck America.
All right. I accept.
Right now, I'd like to say I'm sorry.
I accept your
apology. I got to go now. Why don't you start whistling?
Good morning, Lordy. I'll tell you something about Hoyle Dempsey. He tried to talk about me behind my back, saying I'm limp-wristed. I'll tell you the real reason Hoyle Dempsey left Nahunta, Georgia. He was running women, and the sheriff run him out of town for it. That's right. Hoyle Dempsey was one of the lowlifes that run women. It's probably just as well he run him out of town. Well, he was going to have to close up shop anyway. His sister was getting tired of working nights.
The body of 32-year-old Nancy Bauer...
Because you can't whistle or something like that... They're
suspected of being a homosexual. I was listening
horrible.
To you and Hoyle. I couldn't believe it.
That was horrible.
Everybody knows that you're not gay.
Everybody out there knows that you're not. I mean, you are the epitome of a real man. As disgusting as you are sometimes, I have to admit that you are a real man.
Well, thank you.
A man that's been married 3 times. My God, you're out with women every night.
You got it, buddy.
I cannot believe Hoyle Dempsey. I just can't believe it.
I know. Isn't it ridiculous?
Now, Grease, if you'd get your hand off my rear end, it might help.
Guy out there in the lobby of that motel, I think the guy deserved it. What do you think?
Sometimes
you have to stand up for what you believe.
I think you ought to get the Woody Hayes Good Sportsmanship Award myself.
Do you mean to say that there's times when a man's just got to deck somebody?
That's exactly right. I tell you, it happened to me just about 4 or 5 days ago.
Really? What happened then?
I was over at the Holiday Inn in the lobby.
Uh-huh.
This guy comes up to me and says, "You are the biggest sexist, racist redneck I've ever known, Hoyle Dempsey."
So what'd you do?
I decked him right there and knocked the fire out of him.
You mean you hit him?
I did, yeah. Whipped him good.
Did you hurt him?
Well, I don't know if I hurt him. I knocked him out of his wheelchair, though.
Oh, my God.
Hit him, Grease. Hit him.
Who we got here?
Officer Osteen.
Officer Osteen?
Yes, sir. From the Nahanna Police Department?
Yes, sir.
Is Mr. Hall Dempsey there?
Yeah, just a second, officer. Hoyle, there's a cop on the line, Officer Osteen.
Yeah, Mr. Hall Dempsey, is this?
Oh, this is Officer Osteen of the Nahanna Police Department.
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good. Your mama was in a car accident. She's in the hospital.
What happened to her?
Well, she was running liquor again, running shine, and she hit a telephone pole.
She hit a telephone. Okay, what happened?
Well, she had to get a transfusion from a Zone 3 resident.
Oh,
Hoyle. No, I don't believe it.
Your mama, boom, shakalaka, is your
mama. No, hell no.
She's been requesting watermelon.
No.
And the hell's beginning to kink.
No. Hey, she didn't go out and buy a Cadillac, did she?
Well, she can't afford the down payment. She don't get food stamps. She will now, though.
Well, thank you, Officer Osteen. I appreciate it. You tell Mrs. Dempsey we all say boom, shakalaka.
This glass right here. I got
Grace, you already drinking? Huh? Oh, it's not even 2 o'clock yet.
That's right. Well, I feel that, first of all, it ain't going to hurt me because I'm being moderate. And second of all, it'll help me because I got worms. And
now, wait a minute.
Wait, now look.
How is that going to help you?
Now, wait a minute. The alcohol will help my worms.
Well, how can that be?
Well, the alcohol gets in their system and you know, they get seasick and kind of get tangled in the intestines.
What does it feel like?
Ah, oh, kind of like, you know, spaghetti in a blender.
The Big Ape and Reggie Lee Jones.
Oh, the Big Ape.
To celebrate my show the other night on the Big Ape.
You did real good, I'll admit that.
Well, you helped me out a little bit, too, and I appreciate it.
Well,
we all know who the star was.
Ah, come on.
And also, another thing, it's because I went to church on Sunday, and I figured that ought to qualify me to get drunk as a skunk every single night this week.
You went to church on Sunday?
I did, yeah.
Holy gee.
While I was there, the preacher stood up and said, he's preaching fire and brimstone,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "With all the virgins in the congregation, please rise."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's for the virgins to stand up.
Yeah.
Only one lady stood up.
Uh-huh.
She was carrying a baby.
Holy.
You believe that?
Woman with a baby stood up?
And the preacher said, "Lady," I said, "virgins. How could you possibly be a virgin?" The lady said, "Well, you don't expect this little baby girl to stand up by herself, do you?"
Oh, and this is the birth ceremony that is had whenever there is a newborn in Zone 3. Yeah, you see, they've got all of it. Here comes the band. Yay! All right, they're wheeling in the woman now. Wow. Look at the size of the stomach on her. Woo! That's the most pregnant woman I've ever seen. Apparently, there were some complications with the pregnancy. Yeah, they had to go to rent a placenta. But apparently, they got it all squared away. Apparently, she's going to play the piccolo one final time before the birth starts. There she is. All right, now the whole tribe is gathered around, frantically beating her belly. Apparently, it's some sort of custom that brings the baby to the top. No, it's not going to work. Her eyes are just crunched up with the strain. I can see the pain etched across those full, ripe lips. No, it's not going to work. They're calling the witch doctor. Aha. Well,
I see they're going to have to go by cesarean section.
Well,
what are you going to do? You know, sometimes you got a big baby, right?
All right. He's making the incision.
All right. Here we go. Yeah. Ugh. Unsafe. Gloppy.
Yes, there it is. Ah. Oh, I wish you could see this. How heartwarming. This woman's just given birth to a 9-pound, 8-ounce basketball.
Ah! We make a fortune. Well, we prey on people's guilt feelings. It's I know, maybe I shouldn't be doing it, but I do it every year. What I do is, me and Bubba, we ring a person's doorbell, and we just stand there, completely in our normal street clothes, you know? And the people open the door, and I say, "Trick or treat!" And the people look at me and say, "You disgusting slob. Here you are, a middle-aged man with another middle-aged man. You're going trick-or-treating, you're not even wearing costumes. This is a day for kids, not for adults, to go around glomming off other people trying to get candy. Buy it yourself." And I say, "All right, buddy, if that's the way you feel, don't give my retarded friend any candy." And they say, "What?" I say, "Just because he may be 47 years old and has a mind of a 5-year-old, and Halloween is one of his biggest times all year long, it's one of the times when his dark and gray life has a little fun, go ahead and make fun of him. Like you'd call him a derelict, call him cheap, go ahead, call what you want. That's all right. If that's the way you feel about people that are retarded, that's okay, buddy. That's your sickness. Come on. Come on, Bubba, we'll go somewhere else." And I make sure Bubba's got a real vacant look in his eye, and they go, "Oh, my God, I'm sorry, I didn't realize." And they start lavishing candy on us, and I say, "Well, he really needs some money, you know." And they... And they always come up with $5, $10, $15. I mean, talk about a scam. It works, buddy. Of course, Bubba nearly blew it last year. We were walking away. Some guy gave us $20 and a bunch of candy. And the guy said, hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. If he's got the brain of a 5-year-old, how come he's got a slide rule hanging from his belt? I thought fast. I said, "Well, he uses it to pick his nose with." And how they lap tuna and play the piccolo. And I think it's wonderful that Zone 3 residents are coming around that way. But yet I have a holdout. I got a Zone 3 lady on the phone here, and she refuses. Now, you still, even after you heard your brethren, Zone 3 residents, are playing piccolos and lapping tuna, you still refuse to play. Come on, why won't you play the piccolo?
No.
Just, oh, geez, Minnie, come on.
No.
Would you let me? I know your husband don't lap your tuna.
No.
But, I mean, if we got together, would you be offended if I lap your tuna?
I don't think I can go that away.
Why not? I mean, you wouldn't have to do nothing.
I don't think I can go that away.
Flick, 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 flick. Ah, come on. Come on.
No,
flick,
no.
Flick, flick, flick. Lappa, 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 lappa. Flicka, 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 flicka. Pa, 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 pa.
No. Negatory.
Oh, come on. Why?
No.
I won't kiss you afterwards. Come on.
How can you do it?
How?
Yes.
Are you saying that you are unclean?
Oh, gosh, no.
Well, then what's the problem, then?
I don't know.
Come on, Minnie.
Don't.
It's time you achieved the ultimate equality.
It just seems so unsavory.
It's not unsavory. My God, drinking MD-2020 till you barf your guts is unsavory. I'm talking about a sharing experience, Minnie. Uh-huh. You cannot be completely equal, and I'm speaking from a sociological sense now.
Yes.
You cannot be completely equal in society unless you permit the tuna to be lapped.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, I want to bring you along the road to proper equality and your just position in society.
Yes.
Now, lie down, you bitch.
It's Billy Frank Greyhound.
Dr. Billy Frank Greyhound.
Yeah,
Dr. Mayhute. Near Montfreet, North Carolina.
Wow. Geez, it's a pleasure to have a person so high in the notoriety field as you are, sir. What can I do?
Greeks, man, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to 50,000 watts clear channel up and down the southeastern coast here on the Big Apple radio station.
Yes, sir.
However, I'm here on a rather distasteful business. We have gotten a petition against the Grease Man to get him off the radio.
Oh, no.
And I need Grease Man to clarify a few things.
All right. I'll
definitions of some of the terms that you use on the radio.
All right, sir.
For instance, tuna fish.
That's like you find at any store. You know, tuna fish, like Starkey's Bumblebee. Tuna fish is tuna.
You mean the kind you might find at the grocery store?
Yes, sir.
In the can.
In the can, right on the shelves, sir.
Packed with oil?
Packed with oil, sometimes with water.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll have to buy that one.
All right.
It is a little foul, too.
It is foul.
All right, Grease Man, I've got you on this one. What do you mean by fudge packing?
Well, I can't say on the radio, Doctor, but I'll tell you this much.
I dropped my pencil over here.
You dropped your pencil?
I need to write this definition down.
All right, I'll show you what it is.
You're going to show me what fudge packing means?
That's right. Go and pick up that pencil over there.
Let me bend over here and get it.
Here we are!
Winning what we call Nate Hunter, yeah, I'm going to do some party hopping tonight.
All right, well, tell me the story.
Well, I'm going to Orange Park, first of all, to see the witches.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to the beaches then, and I'm going to see the goblins.
Uh-huh.
Then,
I'm going out there to near the airport out on the north side
mm-hmm.
to see the pumpkins.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm going to zone 3.
What for?
To see the spooks.
Had me mine in the front desk, phone rings, and a man calls up and says, "Hey, is Colonel Potter's Jeep ready?" I said, "Nah, fat ass's Jeep is still on the rack." There was a pause, and the voice said, "Do you know who this is?" I said, "No." And the guy said, "This is Colonel Potter." I said, "Do you know who this is?" He said, "No." I said, "Bye, fat ass." Cash call contest.
Well, I said, because I listened last night, and I heard the thing ring. I couldn't get no answer. I mean, I just get a buzz sound. I imagine somebody else was on the phone. But see, the man, he just keep talking about, the cash thing, but he never tell you when, to pick up the phone.
Yeah, well, what we do is, like, we'll take, like, in this instance, we're looking for caller number 7. So the cash clock is ticking right now. So what we want to do is sound the alarm. When you hear the alarm, you dial up. Now, we'll take 7 callers. The 7th one will win the money. The rest of them either will get a busy signal or they'll say, "Sorry, first caller," and hang up and go on to the next. So you will encounter a lot of busy signals, but if you persevere, victory will be yours.
If I pick up, you mean for somebody else, too.
That's right. No further questions, Your Honor.
This is Jimmy. From Washington.
Jimmy,
okay.
Stay on yourself, Mr. You don't even pay scale.
I understand completely, yeah. I've had it with each and every one of you. I'm accepting your resignations right now. Please line up at the door.
Line with us, man.
Use all your fingers when you wave, please.
That's great. Yeah, that's not really Jimmy Carter, of course. That's a guy named Kenny Miles. It's the least I can do, not only to help the ladies, but it'll help the men, too. That's right. I think a piccolo playing lesson would be in order. And you'll find, and psychiatrists have found, that people work better to music. So I searched high and low until I could find the right song for piccolo playing. Wasn't easy, but I finally found it. So if you'll grab a partner, please. Ladies, come in! Piccolo playing!
Oh, chew it, 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 baby. Always got a mouthful of such sweet things to say.
Uh-huh. Good. All right. Oh, geez, don't forget the paper towels now. We're nearing completion.
Oh, I love to kiss her, love to hold her, love to miss her, love to school her, love to love her like I do.
Up, there's a guy hung up on the tonsils. Careful there, buddy.
One, two.
Gentle extrication is the byword. Becoming more vascular. Yes. All right, ladies, brace yourselves for whiplash. Very good. All right. Now it's time for no fuss, no muss cleanup.
Chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it.
Very good. Yeah. I'm very proud. That was magnifique. Tune in tomorrow for a tuna lapping lesson. Hey, and who says we don't help our community? Hey, she knew. She knew that he wanted a rod and reel combination, but she didn't have enough money. So she went in there, she grabbed the rod, she figured she'd buy the rod, and then she'd take the reel, hide it between her eldritch cleavage, and go walking out of the store, you know? Well, wouldn't you know, as she's walking out of the store, she drops the rod. And when she bends over to pick it up, the reel falls out of her cleavage, and she breaks thunderous wind. And just then, the manager happens to walk by. He says, "Naughty, naughty, madam. That rod will cost you $8.99. The reel will cost you $22.75, and I don't know where you got that duck call, but it'll cost you $3.50.
You say to her,
"Grace, I see that the eighth wonder is with you tonight. Now, when do you spend the most amount of time with the wonder?" And there's Phil Beckman over there. Now, Phil, what's your advice to everyone at the Big Ape Party if Swiggy streaks through the room again this year naked with a lampshade on his head? Oh, no. There's the Big Ape's candy clutch. And Mike Mitchell is chasing her around with a whip, a chair, and a quart of whipped cream in one of those Japanese cameras. Candy, I'm sorry to catch you at such an embarrassing moment. Our national camera crew is right here, so go ahead, in front of all of America, tell Mike what you think of this vulgar display.
Could I do me one more time?
Now, look, in that corner there is Steve Gannon. Steve, what is Hoyle Dempsey doing on the porch with that sheep?
Tell him that she's crazy.
Okay, now, here comes another one of the big ape secretaries down the hall with a roll of money. Now, where did you get that cash, dear?
Doctor!
Well, you mean Dr. A.J. Davis. Well, what was the money for? And what are you doing now? Well, that's probably a good idea. The annual Big Ape Thanksgiving Party. Certainly a wild place with red-blooded American boys feeling their oats and enjoying themselves at this joyous time of year with the secretaries from the Big Ape. Well, it's very dark in here, so we're going to sign off now. But wait a second. Whose hands are those? Wait a minute, Buster! Hey, let me out of here, you degenerates! I'm not going anywhere with you, buddy. Help! Miss! The lady with the roll of $5 bills! Help me!
I know I'll never love this way again.
Help!
Good morning.
On the air now.
I just wanted to say good morning.
I'm glad you did. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
I'm the Gaga.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Just fine. We missed you so much, Grease Man.
Really?
Our mornings just are not the same without you. My roommate and I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we get all ready for 5:30. Come on.
You're too kind.
No, I'm not.
Shucks. I appreciate you. What do you and your roommate do?
We're in the Navy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
A couple of lovely women in uniform.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, God.
You goofy.
Well, I missed you. I went nuts over my vacation. Completely nuts.
My roommate met you, but you don't know her.
Oh, really?
She met you. She says you're a hunk.
I'm a hunk.
Yeah.
A hunk of burning love.
What else, Christian?
What?
We're Yankees.
You're Yankee scum?
No, we're not Yankee scum.
You're just Yankees. What part of Yankee land are you from?
He's from Washington State, and I'm from Chicago.
Well, that's not too bad.
My boyfriend adores you. He's from Chicago, too.
Oh, really?
He thinks you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, that's fantastic. I sure do appreciate the call. You are too kind. Oh, God, let me reciprocate.
What?
Let me reciprocate. You've been kind to me. Now let me be kind to you.
Let me sit down. I don't know if I can handle this.
All right, darling.
I love it.
Now, you come on by and I'll do a little lapping for you to show you how sincere I am. You would?
Oh, yeah.
Does your boyfriend lap?
Oh, yes.
He does?
Oh, yes.
And do you reciprocate my little...
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
All that stuff.
He taught you? Did he teach you how to play to completion?
Oh, yes.
And to... huh?
Oh, yeah.
Really? That's good for your fingernails. Heavy protein base, yeah?
Hair, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Lee, how shiny my hair's been lately.
Really?
Ordinarily, you...
It's me! Big A, 69, WABE.
Charlie, come on, for crying out loud.
Reese wants to talk to you.
Yeah. Of all the nerve. He won't come on the phone. Come on.
Hello.
Hello. Hey. How you doing, darling?
Fine.
You sound a little reticent to speak, and well, you should. Your husband tells me that while you play the piccolo to completion, you refuse to...
Right.
Why?
It tastes bad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't understand, darling. It's supposed to taste bad. That's God's way of making guys think twice before they turn limp-wristed. Had a tooth and nail. Oh, geez. I remember one time we was over their house for dinner, and I'll tell you what, they got this scratching, slapping. We heard this crashing in the kitchen. We walk in there, and they're rolling around on the floor, just thrashing one another. One of them had the other one by the ears, beating her head on the floor. The other one was slapping her with a frying pan. Bubba went to pull them apart. I said, no, no, no. Let them go, Bubba. Let them go. That way they'll be good and tired and sleep when the football game's on.
Jacksonville Coliseum.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
The World of Star Trek, featuring Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry. See the Star Trek pilot, banned from TV in its original form because it was considered too mind-blowing. The script won science fiction's coveted Hugo Award and became the first made-for-TV episode preserved by the Smithsonian Institute. Also on the giant three-story screen, see the famous Star Trek blooper reels, including such greats as Spock laughing and Kirk running into doors that don't open. Gene Roddenberry will discuss plans for a full-length Star Trek movie, reasons for the Star Trek revival, and his views on life in space and the future of the Earth. Tickets for the World of Star Trek are $5.50 advance, $6.50 day of show, available at the Coliseum, Auditorium, and Hemming Park box offices, Sears downtown in Orange Park, all budget tapes, the music shops, and on all Navy bases. Don't miss the World of Star Trek, Sunday, December 19th, 7 p.m. at the Jacksonville Coliseum. Limit of 10 tickets per sale.
Star Trek the movie. Star Trek the movie.
Would you like it? You just lie on your back and hold your little stinky feet in the air, and Uncle Greasy will come by and rub your little feeties. Of course, you sound so cute, I might have to munch on your toes. Uncle Greasy will eat up your little toesies. Have you got someone there to rub your feet?
No, I'm all alone.
All alone? Oh, why is that?
Well, I'm single.
You're single?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been married?
Yes.
And you've been brutally and tragically divorced?
Right.
Oh, geez. Any little kids? Any little souvenirs?
Yes, just one.
And is he there now?
No.
He's with him.
Yes.
I see. So when we go over there, and I won't have any interruption. I won't be pouring your wine and suddenly hear, Mommy, I made a duty.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if he is or not.
I don't think that hurt his campaign, do you?
What? I don't know. It might. Can you imagine Lena Ronstadt in the White House?
Well, that would. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Maybe it'd be all right. Hell, I guess it'd be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I ain't got nothing against it. She's good looking. We'd be
she a wind-breaking lady, you reckon?
I don't think she breaks no wind, no.
You don't think
no? No.
Please, you ever have?
No, I don't think she is. She's not the kind of lady that stoops that low. I think
if it ever happened, though, I could just hear, help me, the air's coming out of me. That's holocomania, I want to tell you. Well, hell, they ain't a little civil war over there anyway. I guess they'll get it straightened out amongst themselves. You know? The Ayatollah Khomeini claims to be one of the S-H-I-I-T-E denomination.
Yeah, he's one of them Shiite Muslims. Shiite Muslims.
Is that what you saying?
Shiite? That's the kind of Muslim he's
Shiite?
Hell,
not only can he not spell it, you can't pronounce it.
No, come on. All right, the good
notice
news.
Notice I've never had a complaint.
I
don't see that George Johns complain about me, do you? I think he likes me. I think he kind of gets into what I say.
Yeah.
The good news. I got good news and bad news. The good news is Jane Fonda is going to Iran to take the place of the hostages.
Really?
The bad news is Teddy Kennedy's driving her to the airport.
Oh, come on! That's horrible.
No, seriously.
That's
seriously.
Horrible.
You know, he heard about Teddy Kennedy's reconsidering marrying again, hadn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's thinking about remarrying.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think he's ready to take the plunge again.
Hoyle, that's horrible. How could you be...
His campaign platform is a blonde in every pond.
Hoyle, you are unfeeling. You are completely without compassion. I have never been so offended. And all that. And me, what about Ted? I mean, the Big Ape covers four states. Suppose he's campaigning. Suppose Ted's campaigning and he hears your derisive humor, huh?
I guess he'll cross that bridge when he gets to it.
Oh,
shit. About halfway through, I said, baby, what you want to nest? I want to get weighed.
Uh-huh.
I said, you do. I took her outside. They have one of them weighing things outside. One of the scales outside. Put a dime in and weighed her again. Well, she picked up about a dime by this time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, about a pound by that time. So we go back in. We just drank a little bit. I said, baby, what do you want to do now? She said, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I want to be weighed. I said, you want to be weighed? I said, and I forgot I hadn't even asked her. I said, baby, what's your name anyway? She said, my name's Louise Wancaster, and I'm having a lousy time.
Young girl, a color.
Harry Truman said it best, the buck stops here. The American presidency has been called the world's toughest job, and covering it's a non-stop challenge. That's why the president doesn't make a move without Robert Pierpoint, Leslie Stahl, and Lee Thornton, CBS News White House team, Washington, or anywhere around the world. Cronkite and Company, only on the CBS Evening News.
Hot 69 BC.
Well, I hope you're satisfied. You've made my show a shambles. You've insulted everyone around. And now you've thrown my timing off completely.
Happy trails to you.
Arrivederci.
69 BC.
I'm damaged for one day or what, huh? All right, then. It's martini time.
Damaged long as I can take off these Grecian Formula 16 stained headphones and never the crystal clear liquid that takes me so far away from all my problems and so far away from all my pain.
La, 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 la.
I trust you shall have a joyous and delightful day. Until bright and early tomorrow morning, when once again we shriek anew, I bid you a fond arrivederci.